You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's morning here. It's afternoon wherever you are. It could be evening, could be tomorrow, could be yesterday. I'm so glad you are here. I look forward to seeing you every day. I can't tell you how much I look forward to seeing you. I really do. So I want today to share some stories and maybe share some of your stories too about how these coincidences that are not coincidences come about in life and how you grab onto them, how you discern them, how you recognize them. Because it really is something that you can make an intentional space, let me put it that way, to be receptive. So you can say, wow, maybe I've been missing a lot of cues. Maybe I've been missing some things. But I don't know how to know what's God and what isn't God and what is myself and what is healthy, what isn't healthy. And so do you just make that intention, the intentional desire? So that's different than saying, I will do this. I will do it. Because then you're kind of saying, my will be done. I will do it. And that's okay. It's a step that we take as being children of God in our childlike ways, no matter how old we are. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not a sin. You don't want to do that. I mean, let me put it this way. Let me back up because I don't want to be someone to call me later and say that I'm doing some kind of heresy. It is always the road to surrender. You get empowerment. You win by surrendering. It is antithetical. It is a seeming contradiction that, because in our wars, if you surrender, you're saying you won. Don't hurt me anymore. It's kind of like what we know as humans in our war. It's when we surrender. Maybe we think it's a way to sacrifice something in order to not have everything gone or our loved ones killed. That's the opposite in this situation. It's as it says biblically, in our weakness, we are made strong. And isn't that awesome? Isn't that mentally healthy? Isn't that the battle cry of every addict, of every abused person, every wounded soul, every person who feels that they cannot express who they are, or they get this mind thing. And again, when I bring this stuff up, by the way, I am Dr. Michelle, and you're walking on this road, Dr. Michelle Live, and you can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com, and you can also call. You can call, you can text. We have our little thing in the beginning saying, you know, this is no means medical advice, and seek your counseling and your medical advice from your particular area's professional, because we rarely are real good, myself included, especially me. I'm really bad at self-diagnosing. When I've self-diagnosed, I would say more times than not, I'm wrong. My most famous thing in my life is when I was in New Orleans and I had made a film with these two veterans, and I was going to the American Psychiatric Association. We're going to give this film and it's going to be really awesome in New Orleans. And I was still a resident then, my last year of residency. And I'm also, I used to work with my hands and I used to do manual medicine. So I dealt with a lot of people with pain, and I know a lot about referred pain, how people can come in and think they are having a heart attack, and it really is a musculoskeletal. You always rule out the heart attack, because that could kill you. And then you, but once that's ruled out, you can work with the musculoskeletal system. So I'm feeling this thing in my back, and I always have this weird spine thing. And so I'm feeling this thing in my back, and I'm thinking, well, it's just musculoskeletal. I'm carrying around too much stuff. And so it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And over a couple of days, and I'm walking around New Orleans thinking, wow, I felt like I was floating, like I was really enjoying everything, but I was kind of in this weird space, and where I was just kind of like, you know, kind of there, not there, but I was just kind of, but I had this pain. And then it started to get worse, and it would wake me up at night, and I was laying down on bags, laundry bags that have in the hotel rooms of ice, just all kinds of stuff. I was literally crawling to the door. I was crazy, the stuff that I went through, thinking, oh, it's just my back. Well, it turned out that somewhere along the line, I'm going to give my the day of my talk and my lecture, and then the day of showing my film, I was like pouring sweat. And I was freezing cold, and I was just like on another planet, but I got through it. And by the time I was finished, I could barely walk. And I thought, you know, maybe I better like go home. So I called my husband and I said, I just picked me up at the airport, and please call our friend and find out who they go to as a doctor. Cause I didn't even have my own medical doctor at that point. And so I could barely get to a cab. I could barely walk onto a plane. And by the time I got back to my home state, I was bent over. And I remember my husband saying that he just couldn't get that picture out of his head, because as I'm walking toward the car, I'm just all bent over and just completely frail. Well, what I find out is that somehow, don't know how, I had fluid around the lining of my heart, and it could have killed me. And it took him 2 weeks to find that out. And so, and it was very debilitating. But I had, here I am thinking, oh yeah, I got this. I know what this is. Well, who would have thought that? Because I had the very thing that you get from, you don't get it the way that, however I got it, was a virus, some kind of virus. I had been in intense, working in, not working, but I was family member in an intensive care unit in yet a different state. I was very worn out from being a resident, and I was spent 10 days basically, day and night, on this intensive care unit. And so who knows? I picked up something somewhere. And I was debilitated. I was spent 4 years of every third night on call and 100 hours a week and lots of stress. So, you know, who knows how? But the whole point is you don't diagnose yourself. So my whole first half of my first segment is like, we don't diagnose ourselves. And I can't diagnose you over the phone, however, or over the radio. But what I can do is to tell you that, help teach you. As I have had to learn sometimes a really hard way. A lot of things I tell you and share with you is because I've learned it a hard way. I mean, I've learned it by like almost dying with that heart issue, and other things just as naive as I was, being so educated. That's the worst kind. The bigger they are, the harder they fall sometimes, right? So, you know, it's not that I thought, oh, I'm better than that. I just dismiss it because I've seen, I couldn't connect myself with someone who, with all I'd seen, I couldn't connect the dots because I'm me. I can't see me in a holistic way. I couldn't see the way I looked bent over. I couldn't see the color of my skin. So I couldn't tell. I couldn't look at all the cues. And plus, I was the one that had altered consciousness because I was not getting the proper oxygen. So that is my story of why I do say, and I mean with all my heart, you're not equipped to diagnose yourself completely, but you are equipped to discern. You are equipped to say, I will keep myself, my dignity, my wholeness. And even in that realm, there were many mistakes that were made and many wrong conclusions to what was wrong with me. So, and even in some of the actual testing, like EKGs, the machine made a mistake. So these things do happen. You have to constantly go, and you constantly have to go with not only your own discernment, but also listening to yourself, listening to your body, listening to your mind, listening to your heart, listening to your soul, and going through that, because we do come into these freak situations sometimes, and we do have difficult times for discerning. So today I want to talk a bit about discerning, but not from your physical aspect. I want to talk about discerning in times of despair, turning despair into hope. How does that happen? How do you take, I'm going to tell you something that someone said to me this morning, our wonderful CEO. We had our regular meeting. And again, where did these things come from? And I'm going to leave you with this until we'll talk about the rest of it on the other side of the break. He said this wonderful sentence that I wrote down. We're talking about, like, you know, the nuts and bolts of being on the air. That's our meeting. That's what we do. So he said, but we're talking about something else, something more spiritual. He said, it's not about weapons. It's about keys, like keys in a lock. And that, and also keys that we've been entrusted with. That those elements I want to drive home to you, because you do have the keys. You've been entrusted with them already. You've got the keys that'll help you to navigate your life on your road, because it's much like everyone else's. All right, I'll talk to you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click friend of the show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on this beautiful road of life. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We have some little bit of a late Indian summer, they call it, or well, not quite the Santa Ana's, where that hot wind comes through. And for some reason, I think it's pretty late. I mean, we're in November, but we have this it was 90, and this kind of soft, well, one time it was actually a very violent wind that was coming by, but it was almost like times I saw in the desert, this hot, dry, windy something. It was very, it really stirs you ethereally, stirs your soul somehow. And the day before, it was a rather kind of agitation in the atmosphere. So it's a really interesting thing how tied to nature we are. So I want to start with something that I received actually in around 2011. And of course I'd heard this before, but I never heard it before, if you know what that feels like. I know you do. Philippians 4:11. I want to read it now because I want that to be a prelude, and I want it to be the foundation, I think, perhaps, of our show today, because this concept that from that one sentence out of the hour meeting that I had today that said it's not about weapons, it's about keys and the keys that we are entrusted with. I think that is it's a, that's that is a huge key for me. So we'll it will make sense as we go on. I think you can let me know 573-4BREAD-4 if it just is not connect, if I'm not connecting any of the dots for you, because believe me, it'll be me, not you. So sometimes these things just are free floating, and they just they're presented in front of me. As I said the other day too, you know, I go on. Today was going to be about insomnia and sleep. I mean, and depression. That was my subject matter. So, and then like, nope, that's not it. All right. So Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. For godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I want you to let that soak in as if you are a sponge. And we just all are sponges. And we came across a puddle in our road. And we just all kind of stopped there because we had to, because we started soaking it in. So here we are. Today we are sponges jumping on our little path, little jumping sponges. And we just jumped in this puddle. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, for godliness with contentment is great gain. For we are brought nothing, we have brought nothing, we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It's rich. It's rich. It's everything at once. You bite in to the most delectable Godiva chocolate or whatever beautiful, rich, delicious buttercream chocolatey thing. And you just know it's rich and it satisfies every taste, every thought, every emotion at that moment. You know how that feels, whether you like chocolate or not. Something when you're a kid, something. It's more desirable. I picked a peach once in an orchard as I was walking through it. I have never tasted a peach like that peach, ever. There's something about the day just walking through this orchard. I probably wasn't supposed to be in the orchard. In fact, I know I wasn't supposed to be in the orchard. So sweet, so amazing. And the air, the thickness of the air, the humidity, the grass under my feet, the taste, the feeling of walking, the way everything just felt, the sounds all around me of just nature, leaves and birds and insects and some kind of life in the distance, a tractor, just beauty, richness. That's what this is. That's what the living word is. That's what the living word is for you. What is your food? What is your raiment, your clothing, your food and your clothing? What is it? It's not just what I ate or eat so I don't die. It's not just that I'm not naked. What is it? And what does it mean? Because it says, I am instructed. Instructed, says Paul. I am instructed. Not, oh, I think it'd be awfully cool, or, you know, this is, it's, I am instructed both to be, both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer, to abound and to suffer need. So just as you're abounding, you must also, you're instructed to feel need then too. Don't ever not feel need. Don't ever be in a place where you are full, because you're in the wrong place. Because you're instructed to be both of those things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. For godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's whatever state I am in, therewith be content. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. I will guarantee you, there is something in your life that is a mouse click away from striking terror into your heart. Terror that will make you so afraid and you feel like you're going to be doomed about where your child needs to be in their spectrum of milestones. You're completely, everyone has abandoned you. And so now you're going to have Alzheimer's, or you're going to end up with diabetes or something, because loneliness is connected with all these physical things. You're depressed. You have a mental illness and you're going to be marginalized, or you're homosexual, or you don't get where to be in your life. And you have to fight and battle. We take these things, and that fear then has us reaching to the wrong tools. So if it's to a woman or a man, so that you're not alone. If it's to a five doctors, because your child sings instead of speaks. Because your child is running and jumping and enjoying life instead of learning and being able to sit still in the classroom. Because your grandfather is drinking themselves to death, whatever it is, or you found out you're adopted, or you did adopt and you found out there's some health problems you didn't know about, anything, there's something out there that will strike fear. But if you go back in whatever state you're in, therewith to be content, because you are instructed to have at once the two opposites living under the same roof. And we'll discuss that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today on our road. I love being here with you. It's always intense. Not always, but it's oftentimes intense, but it's also fun. It's also wonderful because we get each other. And no matter how off the cuff something may be, or how I know in my own thoughts and the way that I might deliver them, you may be scratching your head going, what is she even talking about? But somewhere there's these little seeds, mustard seeds, little teeny tiny mustard seeds that I know when they're planted in me, they grow. Both good and bad. And then we got to be careful about that, don't we? It's both good and bad. So when I'm in a meeting about the nuts and bolts of what I do every day, how's it going? What's the, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do right? What needs to be changed? This little sidetrack. Don't be afraid of sidetracks. This little sidetrack was was the delivery of what I needed right then and there. It changed my topic from insomnia and depression, which I think is important, just like seasonal affective disorder. Those are two topics I've wanted to get to this week. And we were minutes before the program, they were changed. So, but that one sentence, it's not about weapons, it's about keys and the keys that we have been entrusted with. So we are entrusted with a key, with keys, and keys can unlock everything inside of you. That's what happens with post-traumatic stress disorder. That's why my first insight into that was someone came to me, very stable person, but had some mood swing issues and a little anger issues. Very stable, married, job, everything, house, car, dog, kids. Been in war, flew planes, but had no PTSD all the years outside that war. No PTSD. But did have these mood swings, being treated for it, holding his job. And one day, he is at a meeting, and his old dog was having trouble, and he knew it, and he knew that the day would be coming where the dog had to be put down. And while he's at this meeting, 4 or 5 hours away from his home, he gets a call saying, we have to do it now. We have to put down Red. So he just knew he had to. He couldn't say no. The dog couldn't wait. But he said, I'm going to get in the car and drive. So as he's driving all that way, all of a sudden, he was bombarded by flashbacks for the first time in decades. Never had them before. Flashbacks of the war. And what I took from that is that it was the Red shape key. That was the name of the dog. It's actually a different name, but the dog, it's your dog, Fluffy. It's the Fluffy shape key. It was at that point, the life of his treasured pet that gave him something. Ask the animals, they shall tell you. There's a connection there. We don't just own St. Francis of Assisi. It's not brother moon. No, brother, sun, sister, moon. This is all about that wasn't just a quaint thing to say. He really did speak. He was recorded. He was witnessed to have these relationships with wolves and birds and everything else because he knew he was interconnected. So we are interconnected with all of life. We weren't plastic encoded and stuck on a planet, the blue planet, in plastic wrap. We are connected. We aren't insulated. We don't have lead around us, so we keep out all invisible rays. We aren't, we are one with the planet. That's why different poisons can get to us. That's why we have connections with animals. That's why things bring us joy in nature. That's why synchrony with nature is important. That's why the sound of an ocean could be exactly the same amount of decibels that the freeway is in LA or in Chicago. And yet one drives you to agitation and the other one calms, relaxes, and soothes your soul. What's that about? So we are all interconnected. So this was a red shape key that unlocked what was already in him. It was already in him. So these things that we try to shut out, or the things that have been shut into us and locked from the outside, sometimes we lock it from the inside, but locked from the outside, those things are freedom, our liberation, our ability to fulfill Philippians 4:11. Our mental health is in need of opening up to the fact that there are keys. Sometimes what we do is we have things that we reach to that we think are the key to our calmness, our forgetting, our readjustment, our love, our life, our kids, our family, and we are actually picking up weapons of addiction, weapons of control, weapons of our own destruction, because we're believing in the wrong thing and we're not following the instruction. We don't get to ponder this. This is an instruction. Be both hungry and full. And we can put that just in real black and white terms of the election. The fact that I mentioned yesterday about how they are defining this election stress disorder. And I even heard on a Catholic station them talking like, and again, I'm not, if you have that kind of issue, you got the issue now, no matter how you got it. If you can't sleep, you can't eat, you're crying all day long because of the election. Or you're feeling falsely exonerated and whatever, you know, you're now grandiose, whatever the thing can be, you're not functioning well, get help. You do need to get some help and counseling. But you know, when you have people who are rending their garments and ripping, this could be the worst 4 years or the worst trajectory in the history of man, or it could be the best, depending on which side you are. But you really don't have any control over what's going to happen in that, because it really isn't up to one person. So, you know, the statements that are being made by what this means and by what is being hung on this person, or either person, the one who did win, the one who didn't win. The bottom line is you're the only life you have. Your life is your only life. And you've been instructed that no matter where you are, that you feel hunger and full, abased. Have you ever felt abased? I have. Abased. That's a pretty ugly word. To feel abased. But you're also instructed to, you're instructed to feel that. But at the same time, you feel that even when you're abounding. So you're instructed, and when you are abased, you're supposed to also feel abounding. So when you're hungry, you're supposed to see, now they put the good stuff before the bad stuff in this Philippians. But if you look at it, it's also saying, what it's saying is, when you're hungry, you're instructed to feel full too. When you're abased, you're instructed to be abounded. You're instructed to be, to abound. When you are anywhere, in all things, no matter what it is, what is happening to you, that's where your instruction is. Now, we can't always do that. As I said, the other program 3 days ago, you can Google it. I mean, not Google it. You can go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. When someone loses a child, At that point, we go back to Christ at Gethsemane that said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. There's a point where you can't really come back to Philippians and feel much. But if you just understand on the outset, you take that and you tattoo it on your heart. You tattoo it in your mind. You tattoo it in your throat, in your chest, that this is what we're instructed to do. And if we have, through Christ, all things, I can do all things. I can live there. I can live it. And that's where we have to hold on to, because those people, if we believed everything we read, all the people that have gone through hell on earth, true hell on earth, would be all walking around demented or with some horrible disease. They aren't. Some are, but some aren't. And other people who have everything are demented or have disease. So you can't, we have to take a breath and realize we cannot let fear drive us to choosing a weapon instead of a key. All right, we're going to revisit that on the other side of the break. You're welcome to call 573-4BREAD-4 or text. This is Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. Is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call, or you can always email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, with thoughts or concerns or suggestions and topics and questions. So it's all open. I really enjoy that. Many of you have just wanted to kind of share a story, and that's always cool, very cool. And we don't have to share it with everyone if you prefer that we don't, or that I don't. So, all right, so there, let me ask you the question, what crowd are you in? What crowd? Who do you identify it? We say the word group, but let's just use it in the word of a crowd. What crowd are you in? Are you in the crowd of mothers who want the best for their children? Are you in the crowd of people fighting for their rights to live in a country, in a free country? Are you in the crowd of people who want to protect their investments because they've worked so hard or their parents have worked so hard? Are you in the crowd of people who need food and need not to live on the street? Are you in the crowd of a disenfranchised group? Are you in the crowd of having a mental illness and being afraid of the world because that's a stigma and it's still a stigma no matter how they say that isn't? Are you in the group who wants everyone to have recreational use of marijuana, or are you in the crowd that is vehemently against it? What crowd are you in? I think we're urged to live in the world, but not of the world. We might fight for a cause that we trust in and we believe in, but if we become the crowd, we're lost. We're not following the right shepherd. We're not, because the crowd, there was a famous French social psychologist in the 1800s, 1895, Gustave Le Bon, I don't know how to say it, a French social psychologist who published a book on the psychology of crowds. And it's been translated, of course. But this is 1895. This isn't rocket science. In fact, when this is before psychology came about, truly, 1895, Sigmund Freud read this and analyzed the book of this guy, Gustave Le Bon. And he wrote, Sigmund Freud, in his analysis, wrote, "A crowd is trusting and easily influenced. It is non-critical. The concept of improbability doesn't exist. Whoever wants to influence it doesn't need to present logical arguments. It is only necessary to paint the most alluring images, to exaggerate, and to repeat the same concept several times." That is not rocket science. They did it to Jesus. It's recorded in the Bible. They did it to great leaders of ancient Greece. It's recorded history. They do it to ostracize and make scapegoats. They do it to make a crowd do whatever somebody wants it to do. Who wrote this? I don't have the name, but there's a resource I was reading that also talked about Le Bon and talked about that there are few words, and you kind of know this being an adult in our country. At least when I really started paying attention to politics, which was a while back, and this has to do with how you're going to go in life. And I can't always bring myself back to realizing this. But one thing that was so obvious, this was, 20, 30 years ago. I really wasn't that much of a political animal ever in my life. And so I began listening, and my husband was like super into it. And no matter which party he was affiliated with, because he switched. But every time I would listen, I would think, they all say the same thing, everybody, but they don't really say it. They just use these words. Something having to do with children, something having to do with the poor, something having to do with imprisonment, something having to do with freedom. You just say these words, but both sides do it. But they want you, then you fill in the gap, implying that if you're not with them, you're against children, you're against rights, you're against freedom, you're against love, you're against elderly, you're against family. If you really sit back and breathe, just breathe. Breathe in and just take a moment and take the faces and the politics and the issues out of it. And realize that they both gave you, they both put that beautiful vapor over whatever group you're in, whatever crowd you identify with. Same with your children. And when I said, what crowd are you in? Are you in, and it's not a bad crowd. Mothers who love, want the best for their children. But all you have to do is imply the best for the children. And then you, as someone I heard about recently, are taking your child to 5 or 6 different experts when they're a normal 1-year-old. Because the fear is in there. Because if you really loved your children would be doing X, Y, and Z. Or buying this book or doing that or this particular toy. So I'm not against ever partaking in our life. We are made for these times. You were born for the time you're in. You just were. We all sometimes wish we weren't, but we were. And so that's the story of life. I want you to take today. I want you to take today 2 things. One, in the bigger sense of if you're worried about the political thing, I kind of got off on that sidetrack. I apologize for that. I wanted to get more personal. But just in that same area of Matthew that talked about my soul is sorrowful, overwhelmed with sorrow unto death. He also said to Peter, Jesus did, when he was kind of predicting Peter's denial, he said, I will strike the shepherd. He said, it is written of him, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. That striker, that drone, that heat-seeking missile, doesn't matter what century you live in. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's befalling you. It doesn't matter if you're in abounding or if you're in a basement now. It doesn't matter. A basement, not a basement like in a house. an emotional basement. But you have the keys. You have the keys. And they're scary to open. What unlocks the key of your genetics to get a certain disease? What these are keys. They're all physical, emotional, metaphysical, supernatural, natural. There's keys. You have a huge keychain, and each little key interlocks. And as one door opens, it leads away to another door and another door and another door, which will finally lead to light. That's what we go for. And we have an instruction book. We have a cookbook. We have a recipe book. It's called the Living Word. And that Living Word, and the Living Word is engraved in your heart. So if you don't know it yet, if you don't have the Bible or this translation versus that translations or this one that threw out this many books and that one who kept in this many books, it's engraved in our hearts. God's not going to worry that we don't have paper. If something should happen to all of our paper or our internet, it's engraved in our hearts. It's in our living and our waking, our breathing. It's in our everyday situations. It's in that desire to put your arm around someone who smells like urine because they're drunk, because they're broken. Not that you let them take your money or you do anything that's going to harm you or your family either. But the reality is that don't separate yourself. Don't separate and make it us and them, because that will surely divide everyone. You will not be in the right flock. If you're in a flock that does this, if you're in a crowd that does that, you're in the wrong crowd. You do not have to join something that you think will lead you into harm in others. You do not have to. You can fight against it, against something, a rule, or something you think is wrong, that's harmful, that you're right. But your biggest right of all is to bask and to hydrate in your major function, and that is being the child of the Creator, the child of a universe, a child of an ongoing stream of humanity. That's who you are. You're a child of 1,000 years ago, an ancestor, a 10,000, 100,000 years ago. You are the eventual child. You might be the great, 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 great grandchild for a million times over. But you are that. So be that. Open up. Read Philippians. We'll see you tomorrow. I am Dr. Michelle. Thank you for being on this road with me today.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.